walking around these walls. I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Oh, you've never failed. I know the night won't last.
I know the night won't last.
Your word will come to pass.
I believe
I'll see you do it again. promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
Sword here. Please let people know when it is Spark Nation, either it is Bible reading or the word time. You're not allowed to be outside doing anything. If you have to be outside, then we might be able to excuse you to go back home. When God is speaking, man must hold Him in all. And standing before the word is the most important to us in this house. I mean, thank God for music and all that is beautiful. But it gets us to this point. God begins to speak to us about things that pertain to life and godliness. So please invite those who may be outside in. I want to thank God for your lives and what is going on all over the nations, and God giving you favor amongst people, meaning that they wanting to know what you're doing, how you're getting to change lives and transform destinies. This is our goal. This is our call. Please, I need the children department to also help me. I need perfect atmosphere for this word. God bless you. Romans chapter 8, as we enter the second week of the prophetic, and God speaking to us in manner and ways that we can understand. I want to show you and I want the Holy Spirit to show you and I something that is very vital about our lives. And so this morning, I titled this morning's short message, When We Were Children. And I'm not referring to what Paul says when he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And that's a very important part of scripture, but that's not my focus this morning. The metamorphosis of our lives. One of the greatest questions that a young man or a young woman can ask is, why am I here? We discover that many people will never find that until they die. Many people will live a life of inferiority, not because they are not talented. I think every man and woman came to this world with exact capital that they need in order to thrive and be successful in life. Have I seen young men and women that looks promising and all of a sudden life cuts them off because certain situations happen in their lives. Why am I here? Because once I understand that, I'm able to fight through anything that wants to hold me back. When friendship or parenthood is faulty in my life, what happens is that I will not fulfill purpose. And you see, life does not pity us. Life just is life. Life does not give you anything out of pity. It just gives you back what you put into it. It's called principle. Well, this morning, allow me to start to talk to you about destiny. What is destiny? When you hear the word destiny, what comes to your mind? If you hear the word dog, right away, a picture comes to your mind. Yes or no? I need you to engage with me this morning. An animal on four legs, right? Some of you who have been in funny relationship before you got born again, you know what comes to mind. Anyway, so don't say, what you started with was decent enough. The other one. And so, but when you hear the word destiny, what comes to your mind? I think before I know the word, what comes to my mind is Rosaran Zaran, isn't it? Whatever will be, right? Well, that's me. That was me. I don't know what comes to your own mind when you hear destiny. So allow me to start this morning. Allow us to think together, even if you are 15 years old or you are 70. And I know I talk to a community, young black people or white people or Caucasian or whatever else, will only these days think through Twitter alone. But let's think this morning. Romans chapter 8. Paul is going to speak to us and we're going to hear from him from about three or four different translations, and we'll have the final one from the 2PT. And so let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 20. Let's start from verse 27 quickly this morning, Bible reader, because I need to fly fast.
And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him.
We know that in how many things? Talk to me now, Spark Nation. That in everything, God works. Now, this is so profound to me because I think if I can find confidence in this scripture, yes, nothing will scare me anymore in life. In all things. In other words, let's just put it this way. Nothing just happens in my life. Nothing. We know. And so you've got to look your neighbor again, and I really wish you're in a position not to be afraid of them. I want you to look at them very well. Look at them eyeball to eyeball first. Well, no, we is timid now. You're not doing it to Mrs. Pastor. Look. Thank you. And really ask them, do you believe? Tell them this now. Do you believe that in all things, God is working for you? Did they answer? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. What does the Message Bible say? Quickly, I really need this to work in a way that maybe someone can read it by your side. That's why we can be sure, we can be so sure that every detail, don't you love this one? Every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So I'll have to read it myself if you haven't had them opened. Okay, read it then.
Amplified, sir. And we know...
We've got to digest that first.
Message, sir.
Message first. We've got to digest it. It's got to sink in.
That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives...
Every detail. Every single detail. I'm going somewhere this morning. Please stay with me. That every single detail of my life does what?
In our lives of love for God is worked into something good.
Oh my God. I don't know, as interesting as this week was, maybe there's something that you're not too happy about. Guess what this scripture says? It said that detail, God is working it into something good. Thank you, those at the back, for saying those amen though. God is working it out. Oh my God. So I've got to remember, any unpleasant situation in my life this week, and then I've got to tell myself, oh, so that's God working something good. He's working it into. Read on, sister. Now you read the Amplified you wanted to read.
And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God.
Okay, go back to NIV and let's see what TPT says, and then we'll go back to read where I'm going to, because we want to get into destiny. In case there's anyone here this morning that wants to ask, what is my destiny? What is my one? I want to show you this morning. Have you got time for me? A drug dealer once asked me, what's my destiny? I said, of course, you're going to die or go to jail, you fool. What do you think your destiny is? You're going to be prime minister? Chicken. You're going to be prime minister. You're going to go to jail. But if you follow me now, right now, as in drop all that and come with me, then maybe prime minister then. It's as simple as that. There's no two ways about it. Okay, let's go back to that now.
TPT, sir.
Yes, quickly.
So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit.
I love this. He said it's continually woven together. Every single detail of our life is continually woven together to do what?
To fit into God's perfect plan.
I beg of you, in case you're already used to what I'm saying now, just underline these words. I'm going to hit a point and I'm going to answer clearly what is your destiny. If I look at you this morning, what do I think tomorrow would be? Now, if I say to you, this is what I think your tomorrow will be, and I'll bet my life on it, you're going to ask me, how are you sure? I want to tell you why. That's so daring, isn't it? Wait for me. So follow me. I'm going to start on an elementary basis. I don't want to assume anything that you already know. So let me take you through. So go on, sister.
Continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan.
So fitting into. You may want to write that down. I've got to fit into something. Okay. So I've got to fit into. I can't fulfill anything without fitting into. Did I tell you on Thursday that the rapture people refer to is the catching away of the saints? I'm going to show you something now. Fit into, yes, ma'am?
Fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives.
It fits into God's perfect plan of fitting into God's plan for our lives. I know young men who have been to jail, whose jail journey just fits into God's perfect plan for their lives. And someone said, well, maybe I have to go to fit into. No, they went so that you won't go. The fulfillment of God's plan for their life is they had to go. So if they stop you after service and say, stop doing what you're doing, stop carrying knives, stop da 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 da, it already fitted into. Otherwise, you fit into another guy's plan, who is Satan. But let's move on from there. So let's go back to New King James or NIV.
And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
They have been called according to his purpose, yes.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined.
This is the issue now. Please listen. We'll get into the exact main part soon. For those that God foreknew, he also destined. Now, the reason why you needed to use the word predestined is because it's pre-time. For those, so now, where are we going to be caught back into? I want you to know this morning that you are not an afterthought. For those God foreknew, he already destined. So you exist in God's thought. Before you were formed, you were in his thought. He had a grand plan. Your place of existence was in his thought. When the catching away of the saints happened, you're going back to the thought. I know this is too much for Sunday. I prefer, out of all the reply, that's my best now. Come on, G. The catching away of, because you came from his thoughts. When your thoughts become too big, you go out of his thoughts. You step out of destiny when you want to use your thought to figure out your predestination. I'm coming this morning. So where was I living before I came to this world? For those that God foreknew. Okay, so let me say it this way. Some of you have plans. In 5 years' time, I'm going to do so, right? Everybody that you need in order to fulfill that plan exists in your thought, right? Oh, my God. What about the money you need? It exists in your thought. The house you need. Everything exists in your thought. Okay. So the breakaway point is that people's vision exists in their thought, but it never comes to the flesh. So they are not able to move from A to B. You know, many young men that I've met living a wrong life, they have a better vision in their thought. But their life does the opposite. That's why he's in uni, but he's selling drugs. But you have a better future in your mind. You want to become something important. You want to have power. You want to have wealth. But the matter is, it's in your thought, but there is no connecting force in your life. So the life you want and the life that exists in your mind, there is a complete disconnect. Let me connect you to the plug this morning. Help me to help you this morning, sis. Come on, G. Gavin, what are you doing? Sit down, my friend. I need you to hear the word now. Are you Gavin? And so, thank you, man. And so now I see a lady, pretty, promising until I met his guy. Our guy, rather. I'm thinking, why do you look so put together and you are with this joker? Well, there is something existing in our thought, but there is another thought within the community she grew up with, and the thought in the community she grew up with attracts that kind of guy to her. So you see, there's going to be a disconnect between who she really is and who she's supposed to be. Come on, G, let me connect you this morning to destiny. Come on, G. Someone is struggling with their thought and saying that I really want to be financially free, but they don't know how to do it. Come on, G. Let me connect you this morning. Come on, G. No wonder God wanted to speak to the nation of Israel and he had to tell Jeremiah, for I know the thought. In other words, don't spoil my plan. Everything you need for what God has placed in your mind exists in the mind of God. If you need someone to favor you, that person exists in God's thought already. And they will come through if you don't mess up his thought. For I know the thought that I think towards you, thought of good and not of evil. I came from his thought. I'm not just a creation of someone's sexual pleasure. Oh my God, I'm talking to someone right here this morning. I'm not the creation of my community. I'm not the creation of the black race or the white race. I'm the creation of the king's thought. For those that God foreknew, how did he know them? He knew you in his plan. Oh my God. In other words, what you are created to do, it is only you that can do it. Come on, G. That's why Satan wanted to mess your life up before it started. That's why your parents could have told you all the wrong informations about you. That's why Satan will create situations to make you feel inferior. You've got to tell him this morning. You've got to tell him this morning, just before you leave this place today. You've got to let him know, I was fearfully and wonderfully, thoughtfully, made. I fit into purpose and all things. I've been preaching since I was a child. I've been in church all my life. I'm more than a decade dealing with people. I've known something. When wrong and bad situations happen, it is God's timing to check where your life goes from here. You can tilt it towards the positive, or you can decide to go down. It's your choice. But I said, I've seen people who came from prostitute. You were still thought true. Children of rape, but God thought you through. What the parent did was just to be a transportation mode. They transported you. He said, except you be a child of a prostitute, you cannot fit in. Do you remember that fit in thing? So we are fitting into a grand plan. Ah, I wish you can hear me this morning. Okay, let's hear what Paul, talk to us, Paul. Come on, G, Paul, come on.
For those God foreknew,
come on, P.
He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son.
You still can't answer that question now. What is my destiny? Read it again, ma.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined.
To do what? What's their destiny?
To be conformed to the image of his son.
Oh my God. Again, what is my destiny? Read it again. They didn't hear you because they've been taught that their destiny is to be a mechanic. Their destiny is to be a doctor. Their destiny is to be a musician. Their destiny. What did God say the destiny is? Read it again. Oh.
To be conformed to the image of his son.
Malika to Zabrahanda. Can I pray in tongues for a minute now? Someone said, I don't like that church because they even greet themselves in tongues. Because one day we were shopping and then one Spark National came and said, Libra Hande Likataya. And I said, oh, Brihatus Kabahande. Brozi Kabahanda, Mazuski, Broza, Broza. In shopping mall, you know. And then he said, Mazuska. He said, Brahandi Katuza Mande. Brusa Maliande. Maliande means, have you spoken to Pity today? Okay, then says Shalabadoza. And someone wants to quote scripture to me on that one. He said, but he that prays in tongue prays. I said, leave story. You take the theory. Let me take demonstration, result. Come on, G. If you want to talk to each other and Igbo fails you, it will never fail Pastor Henry, but. Please, BBC, the joke I made about Igbo, please let it feature on BBC, please. I said Igbo people don't kneel down to propose, but Obi did. Then I know for Pastor Henry, if it wasn't me, Biafra starts all over again. But seriously now. This is amazing. Listen to me, guys. Stephen, what are you doing? What are you saying, bro? You're getting souls in, but they need to hear the word. Okay, but don't worry. Do what you've got to do, man. Come on, G. These guys have changed my tongue now. So imagine I call Scotland Yard guy, and the first thing I say, hey, what are you saying, bro? Thinking, huh? So, oh, sorry, hello. Hello, sir. Rabadosa. Okay, so if their destiny was to conform to the image, to be like Christ was the first destiny. Not to be a doctor, that's not, I will take you to that stage now. Not to be a preacher. Read, sister.
To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
So that it can be the firstborn. Let's see what TPT says quickly. Then once we finish reading scripture, I'll talk to you for 10 minutes and I'll close this service quickly.
For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son.
So we cannot fulfill destiny until we share the likeness of Christ. But the question this morning will be, what's the likeness of Christ though? This is the ultimate of our destiny. So if there is no connecting point, it's because we never shared that image. So everything that I will be in life, how successful I will be, is all hidden in becoming like Christ. Oh, okay. So, but for me to be like Christ, because I heard that all my life in church, people even were band of what we Christ do. You don't see those band anymore, do you? What would Jesus do? Sorry. You don't see it anymore. They've thrown it away. It's usual for Christians. These are bunches of excited people. So now this is the gist. Let's go for the gist now. So that when I make a call, you know this morning, I'm calling you to come forward to start the journey of conforming, fitting in to that image. Otherwise, you will not know destiny. So this is where we start from. For those who, if for new, I got this revelation one day praying at the age of 13. And I quickly ran to a friend's house. I want to get him saved. But I've been struggling. How do I get this guy saved? And I was reading this scripture, 13 years old. Then I got it, ran down to his house and said, hey, now I know. So I said, do you know that it is not that you were created and God now said, I have a purpose for you. No, it's not. It's the opposite. He has a purpose and you were created for that purpose. Why are you finding it difficult to find your purpose? I'll tell you why. You see, the maker of this microphone does not create this microphone. You know, I only said that and the guy broke down crying. That's the word he needed to have heard. The maker thinks in his mind, I need a microphone that can reach 1,000 people clearly. Then his thought thinks it true, then he creates it. Now, please, what would this microphone need to do in order to be what it was created for? Just be the microphone. That's why when God was going to describe you, don't sleep now, sister. He only described you as a clay. Then he said, can the clay say to the potter, what makest thou? What are you making of me? He had to place us in position of clay because he knew that a time will come when democracy will be the order of the day and clays can feel like I have a say. God says, you are the clay and I am the potter. Come on, G. So everything that is going on in my life right now, I'm in the hand of the potter and he's shaping me according to what is in his thought. And he says, if you can stand still like a clay, I know the thought that I think. But you see, you mix up with so many people and they give you so many thoughts. And you wake up and say, I've got to sort something out. God says, come on, G. What are you doing? You're going to mess up this thing now. Imagine a clay will stand up from the potter's hand and walk away. Say, you see this pot you're making? It's too small. I want to be the major pot. Big pot, you know. And God says, you see, big pot don't fit into what you need to fit into. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. What do I need to do in order to be a billionaire? Just be you. But I've got two gist for you. Yeah? Did you finish reading it now? For those who he quickly, sister.
For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters.
Let me simplify that to you. Let me simplify that. Listen. When you... No, leave it. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Can you... I want you to picture four people that you've met in your life. Let's assume you're 20 years old now. Or more. Four people that you've really met and you like them. I want to give you examples. If you met somebody and you like them, you'll come to a point where you follow them so much that you speak like them. Talk to me, G. Sorry if you're feeling so. Why is he calling us G? I don't even know what G means, you know, but it's fun. I don't care. Good people, God, whatever. All of that. If you watch somebody so closely over time, most times, even your physical walk, you begin to walk like them. So a black young boy said, "But, guy, why do you look like this? There is about 3 different hair." I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that what had happened to him is that he's watched somebody so closely that he then goes to his barber and says, "Make me in the image." I wanted to leave that scripture to be conformed to the image. But you see, the problem is, listen to this now. And I'm going to start rounding up, and I mean that. The problem is, he wants us to be conformed to the image that he can understand. But the image that we see mostly is the first Adam. Thank you for that, because that word is so deep. But I'm talking to Sunday service, so I will shallow it up shortly. The one we see around everywhere, Maliander, is first Adam, the fallen guy. Whoever you've seen on the bazooka Bahanda, there's got to be bazooka in that tongue. I don't even know where it came from. But you see, listen. You see that first Adam. If, for example, you like Barack Obama, so let me take it in 4 stages of a person's life. When you were growing up as a teenager, especially if you didn't grow up in this country, because if you grew up in this country, it is stupid people you will meet a lot. But let's say that you grew up in Africa, and then you hear about Barack Obama, you begin to behave like him. You talk like him. And after that, you met Donald Trump. You talk like him. You behave like him. After that, let's say you met 4 people. Right? And you behave like them. Now, by the time you're 25, who are you? You are a blend of your mom. You see your mom, you behave like her. Then you saw certain mentors. So you are a blend of many people now. But you see, all those people are the image of the first Adam. So even you don't know who you are. Please listen to me. And you know I'm a fan and a firm believer in mentorship, right? But you look at your mentor to a place where you're talking like them, you believe what they believe, you don't have an ideology, you share their ideology. So the Father is sitting in heaven and thinking, okay, this is not the guy we thought about. This is not the girl we thought about. See this guy that we thought about now running around the street selling little drugs for little bits and pieces, carrying knife in his pocket and thinking, I'm just using it to protect myself. This is not the guy we thought about. The guy we thought about is a great guy, not this little guy here. Why did he become this guy? Look at the girl we thought about. She's supposed to be a barrier breaker. We fitted her into a tough family so that she can rise with that story and become captain of industry. But she's become this now. And she's managed to tell herself, this is all you can become. God says, this is not what we thought about. We wanted her to be like the firstborn. I'm coming somewhere now. So now, listen now, please. Heavens need to rewire this guy now. So now, listen to what God then did. The last Adam which is what the first Adam was supposed to be, now came. The reason why it came, I told you this before, was that all those who will become a similitude must know how to behave. This is the gist now. So I've become an embodiment of everybody I've ever met. But he said, my destiny is to be conformed to his own image. You know, you can quickly conform to the image of your anger. Then nobody cares for me in that church. That thought has come now. You know what that did? It negated and pushed out God's thought for your life. And now you're conforming to that thought now. And once you do that, the world takes you and say, yeah, welcome here. We are all angry people anyway. Don't sleep on me now, bro. I want to close now. Jesus walked, and the first thing he did was to take 12 disciples, and he's going to show them how to be like him so that they can show others how to be like them so that they can be like him. My destiny is to be like Christ. But you see, when Christ was living, it gave fivefold ministries. I don't get a mentor in the world for anything until I've met my apostle first. I asked the Lord, why must they be? Listen to this now, please. I'm begging you, because thousands of Christians will read a lot of purpose-driven life and all those things, and it never ends up anywhere. Because the Bible shows us here that the destiny is to become like him. If they become like him, they will say things and do things like, the Son does not do anything except that which they see the Father doing. That means what I was in his thought is only what I'm carrying out. It is not difficult for Spark Nation to explode and all the result, because there is no thought of our own or plan of our own. And that's why a person like me can say, follow me as I follow Christ, because you've seen the result yourself. Talk is cheap. And someone knows the Bible and has experience of life. I don't care. I care about replicating what heaven is doing. That is what to be like. Come on, G. So I said to the Lord, why must they all become like one in the, like Christ? He said, so that he can be the firstborn. You know what that means? It's got to be a family matter. Let me simplify that. You see the Rockefeller family, right? When a child is born into that family, it's predestined for one thing. They don't look at the child and say, with all the materials you have, we do hope that you become one of the greatest footballers in the world. Or painter. By the time the name of that family stands, his destiny is finance. His own thought is irrelevant. If somebody's surname now is Rockefeller, the first thing you'll think of is finance. You don't think, oh, wow, are you a good basketballer? No way. Every society is shaped by family. The reason why we're lacking behind and why we have many proud young Black boys and girls who don't know their left from their right, but they talk a lot on Twitter, is because they have no parenthood, no family life. No family. Nobody told them destiny. Nobody told them this is who we are. That's why a Spark Nation exists, to tell you this is who you are. And don't bring that nonsense here. This is not church. Listen, at the time you're growing, nobody cares to me. I'm not doing this. Oh, you get out, man. What do you think this is? Another dysfunctional family? No, it cannot afford to be another dysfunctional family, because if we are a church, we cannot take the world. But if we are a family, we can change the narrative but as a family. So God says that the reason why he said those who he foreknew, their destinies become to become a family. Out of that will grow all the things they need in life. Every supply that is waiting for any child in the Rockefeller family is in order to fulfill their predestination. It is not for them to become a great footballer. They can buy football clubs if they like. I hope you know this morning before you walk out of here, you belong to a family, and then he gives a father in the house and says, fit in. Do you remember that word fit in now? I know that religion has given me all my own thoughts. You see a person blabbing on social media. The first question is, what family? He said, no, I just worship God at home as I like, when I like. You said, nah, that's not a child. Orphan. Not even an orphan. Oh, yes, my friend. What family shaped you? Where did you get your ideology from? Oh, I pick it here and there. So you don't even know who you are already. But those who are born into this house, before you came to Spark Nation, there was a predestination. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Before you walked in here, there was something already called your destiny. So you didn't come with your own idea. That's why we're not going to take it. Because I know your community was shaping you. So when you come in, the father says, okay, now this is where we're going. This is a house of winners. This is a prosperous house. This is a house of young people changing the narrative. So he said, when you come into the family, he said, fit in. So the sister says, I just don't treat with people. I don't deal with people. I just do my thing and go home. I know why. Because a father did not raise you. I know. No. It's not an insult. It's fact. You've been independent all your life. It's to your own peril. For this cause, Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So when they say, Spark Nation, what is your name? You've got to respond, prosperity, love for God, holiness. That's your name. That's where you derive from your name from. That is your destiny if you are really in this house. I didn't say if you attend this place. If you attend, you are welcome. We love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Fill this form, put your name down, blah, 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 blah. But if you belong to this family, what do you need to do in order to prosper? Just come fit in. Well, I want to write my CV. God says that's not the starting point. The more you become like him, the more doors will open for you. And what are you becoming like? What is his image? The word. Oh my God. You didn't hear me. Don't follow anything in this house that is not based on the word. We've never had any result that is outside of the word. And I understand that the current church word, including some of you, have come to develop a mind that is religion. Not the word. Yes, some people talk. You know, I told you on Paris, you know, you're preaching on Periscope and you have these mothers or fathers or aunties who quickly reply. Someone asks a question, how can I be holy? Quickly, John chapter 3 verse, if that John is walking, why is your life like this, auntie? Why are you scoping through people's Periscope at midnight? Did we invite you? How did you have the time? Come on, G. I refuse religion. I refuse the mindset of religion. But what I'm telling you this afternoon is this, ladies and gentlemen. There is always a house I belong into. No matter how dysfunctional your family is, let me tell you something. The biological family means nothing. Unless they are in the will of God. Oh, but why can that pastor say that? I'm only quoting scriptures. So don't shoot the messenger now. One day Jesus was preaching. I said, your father and your mother are here. And Jesus said, who are those? Who are those? And he said, your Mary, the one the Catholics worship. Jesus said, I don't know her. The image of Jesus, don't go and start looking at that guy on the cross. We don't know who that guy is. You know the guy they put on the cross and put some thorns on his head? And a Mary with scarf on her head? Don't worship that guy. You may find yourself in hell. We don't know who those people are. There was no single picture of Jesus taken. How did this become the picture? Who took the picture of Mary? Are you kidding me? You go before that thing and do this. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Catholic is bad. I'm just saying that you will not bow down to any graven image. But let's leave that and just finish with this right now. Listen to me, gentlemen and ladies. Our destiny. Lord Jesus comes to us and speaks to us in the house and through his apostle, which is myself, and say, you know what? Next week we're taking the nation by surprise. Up dealers, da da da. When you fit into that, you know why only few people prosper in the church? Few people fit in. Everybody hears about giving. Few people do it. Everybody hears about, let's win 5 souls next week. Few people fit in. They said, leave that to Kim. And da 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 da. And God is saying, you're not fitting into your family. What's going on, bro? Say, what I've been going on, I've been going through lately. Said, the reason why you're going through that is that you're not in a family. You attend church. See how quick it was for you to disagree with everybody in your house fellowship. Because to you, it's not a family. It's a church. God says if we're going to rise to the next level of power and grace and exploit, I guarantee you, listen to what I'm about to say. Look. I've never had to do anything peculiar to get all these results. In every field. It's just about knowing what heavens want right now and just doing it. That's all. Why? Because that fits into his plan. Look, your plan is ruining you. And you see how quick you were to fight when it didn't feel like anybody was supporting your own plan? Because God, it's not part of his plan. So you got angry and you're not going to leave the church because nobody is supportive. Because it's not God's plan, my friend. Why are you always fighting, though? So in the church, in the house, since I want you all to fit into this plan. Look, the hope dealers are getting breakthrough now because they fitted into a plan. They've been sinking for years, right? But what happened to them is that they walked into a family. And that's at the Yinka still carrying Periscope stuff. And say, oh, now I'm hope dealers. No. Why is your finance not thriving? It is separate from what is in the mind of God. And if you fit it into, God knows how to reward you. I'm asking you this week to go fit into that plan. Jettison all other plan and get into the plan of winning souls. And someone looks at that and say, how would that prosper me? I want to buy a house. There are houses. There are tools. It's already in his thought. The moment he thought about you, he thought about everything you will need. That drug you're selling or whatever else, it's not part of his plan. But I'll tell you whose plan that is. It's the plan of the society. Because when you go to prison, they make more money off you. I know the plan that I think. I want to conform more and more to him so that I can help you. I don't want to have any agenda of mine. I've always told people, you know, I'm going to stay on my lane. I'm not looking for fame or money or attention or the queen or the prince. I see you black people rejoicing that there's a black person now. The way you guys rejoice, I wish I can just be white sometimes. Oh, now we've been accepted into a family. Oh! I'm like, I thought you guys were humans. But that's not the, I'm not a killjoy. Rejoice, you know, rejoice. But I'll tell you what. I don't know if you know that the lady needs your prayer more than your retweet. Because somebody now has to prove that she's not worthy. And if I know this system where they will prove it, everything is going to go quiet for now. But believers will not pray for her. Because they've forgotten. It's just, wow. Think she needs your prayer. But this is my gist this morning. You were already predestined. Remove this now, please. Your prosperity and mine is hidden. You know, as we're getting up and up and God is lifting us, people ask me and text me to do a lot of things. People ask me for favors. And people say things like, oh, we're planning our own rally too. Can you get young people to come? Oh, we're going to do this. Can you get your young people to come? No, my leaders told me just ignore such things. And I want to tell them that if I've been doing that, you know we will never have been raised. I don't command young people, go here, go there. Oh, you come. No, my friend. I've got to know what everyone is doing because what God is doing in your midst is not mine. Is his plan, is his thought. And if I can respond only to his thought, then growth will be inevitable. I don't just put young people program together. Oh, let's put a program together against knife and crime. And I tell them, please count me out. Listen to what everyone is saying because it's his thing. They are his people. I ask people when they come through, is this a friendship or is this you just want me to do some youth program? I don't do youth program. I don't want to be involved. I advise you not to do the same. We have too many programs, so much so that we forget destiny. What is happening in Spark today is destiny. I invite you into that. So when I make the call this morning, I'm asking people to leave their seat and become part of what has always been destined for you. And because God is supernatural, you can never see the end result of certain decisions you decide to make. The Lord told me about 30 people that are far away from the Lord. Being far away from the Lord is being far away from destiny. And you're going to be trying your own best deed. That's why eventually you came to church now to fight. And I'm not talking about gang now. And I want to tell you, if you're in a gang and you come to church, I believe that the reason why you came is to begin to find a pathway to a better life. Not to see your enemy and start saying, oh, I'm going to fight him here now. I'm going to fight him now. Don't be silly, you know. tell the gang driver or whatever, da 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 da. Tell him, come on, man. Come on, G. This is church. Let's meet up in the area and kill each other. But you want to come flex muscle in church? You actually left your home early in the morning. Oh, there's nowhere else to fight. Let's go church now. Let's go church and show them what gang is the toughest. In church, really? Whereas you guys can plan, get a field, at night get your sword and your knife. Guys, listen. Why are you dodging the police at night when all of you can meet in a field that the police won't know and face each other? You're tough, right? This is Spartans, yeah? Listen. Wait. When Spartans, the real ones, were fighting, were they sneaking through the soldiers and say, oh, where's the guy without a knife? Are you kidding me? They said, we're going to fight 2 p.m. today against blah, blah, blah. They met in a field. Bring out your sword. Bring out your gun. And, hey, invite BBC. Pew, end it right there. Don't make it like 55 years of stab one person today, another one in 5 years' time. What are you doing? But better still, listen. Better still. One of you can decide, I'm not conforming to the community I grew up in. I'm not going to allow poverty to define me. That I was born into a deprived family. God made you born into that family so that the anger of that can make you make a right decision and turn your life around. And you can say, even though I was born in Kennington or in Eastside or da 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 da, I was with Reese's parents this week. I sat down in their living room. There was a mattress on the floor in the living room. Kitchen is there. I sat down there and I thought about the young black boy. I thought to myself, two things. The first thought for me was anger against guys who make this decision. I'm thinking, and I'm sitting down in front of the mom, and I was almost crying. I'm sorry to say this, I saw the dad as well. And I'm thinking, this is not a dad. It's not a father. And it made my heart bleed for where you're coming from. And my first reaction was anger against the guys and how they decide to live their lives. But on the second thought, I thought to myself, what if the guys are not the ones to be blamed because they can't find a way out of this? And they think the only way out is that lifestyle. Because this is poverty all over around me. I was sitting there. Couldn't stay there for too long. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I can't lie. I can't do it. What if he finds no other option? So now, I've got this bitter and sweet thought now. But I walked out of there more determined, thinking, but now Spark Nation is here. And if every one of you fits into destiny, we can change the world. If a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, instead of conforming to what he sees in his community, says, look, PT and all the community unit leaders, and including our sisters too, however long it takes me to change my life, I may be broke for a season, but I know coming here, I'm destined for something. Please show me. Now, first show you the image of the guy we're trying to conform to, that is Christ. And then show you possibilities. So when I invite you this afternoon, I'm inviting you into destiny. If you want to be tough, don't be tough in a group. Why are you tough in a group? 15 people are working together and say we're tough. No, let's know you. Who are you? And can I close on telling people who say, you know what? I carry knife for my own security because, and I feel you though, but I've got to tell you this. It stands correct in scriptures that those who live by the sword will die by it. This afternoon, I've taught you about destiny as much as I can do on a Sunday. This is how much I can go on a Sunday. My destiny is to be like Christ. Because with that, I will fulfill all my purpose. The destiny of my community is to make sure that I'm not like that. That's why no matter what God is doing in Spark Nation, my eyes is not off the ball. I don't care about, my duty is not to attend parties and be seen with great people. That's for you to do. My duty is to open the way for you to do that. It's not my job, you know. I'm speaking to every soul winner here, everyone that has a great destiny. Don't let your community decide. And I speak to those who don't even have those kind of background. But mediocrity is now defining your life. Being little is defining your life. The state of mediocrity is a state of death, you know. When a person can achieve more, but they did not listen to his plan because they are afraid of everything. Is fear running your life? I invite you to become like him. What is his image? He gives us leaders in the church. And I'm telling you, church is never perfect. And the reason why it's not perfect is because you are here, walking in our midst. We don't worship you, we don't worship you. You are here, turning words around. We don't worship you, oh, we don't worship you. But you see, let me be serious with that for a moment. You see, bearing fruit takes time. So I'm not calling you to the perfection of bearing fruit and all of a sudden you've become this great shot. I'm asking you to take the first step out of where you used to be into where you really have to be. And that is conforming, fitting in. How do I fit into Christ? I fit into what God is doing in this house without doubt in my heart. And that's why the house will always have one mind. We have a system of giving. It's either you're participating in that or you're not. It's either you are enthusiastic for that or your mind says, you know, I can only do what I can do. No. Why do we give like we give? We give like we give because we believe that there is a destiny for us, and if we can push more. I've always told God I need 500 people who are addicted givers. God said, you need one person. I said, but I don't want one person because I want everybody blessed. And God leaves those words with, my plan is my plan. But I'm going to fight to be that one person or the 500 people. But there's no journey like that unless I decide to surrender all to God. I know there are 60 people here this afternoon. Two things we're going to do this week to prove that we're part of this destiny. I welcome those who want to be part of the church, and that's fine. But there are people who are part of this destiny. That to change the narrative of the young man and woman in Europe is now in your hands, friends. It's with you. Forget about Twitter opinion. I need to keep drumming this in your heart and head that God has given us something that is more. And even if you're here for the first time, I need you to be part of this conforming to the image of Christ. I need you to drop your friends behind and pick up positive friends this morning and say, this is the life I now want to live. It doesn't. Yes, you can put your hands together. Come on, G. We are Spark Nation. I saw yesterday, I saw all through this week that the world does not reject the gospel. They reject that archaic, old, dull lifestyle and system of preaching it. Now, people who are now used to going to church, but you're not used to going back into his thought, my call now is going to be for you. And I'm not just talking to young people. I'm talking to those who caused young people to be like this as well. Because when you didn't wake up to your community, when all you wanted for life is just you, what your mom told you, what your dad told you, take care of your life. How are you doing on that right now, though, mom? How is that going? And moms are amazing, but you see, when they deliver us into this world, you've got a choice to make now. Let's face the fact. I've met moms who just simply cannot mentor their children. There's no way. I was sitting in the areas that I now go to for bereavement. And I said, even if this dad or mom wanted to train this child, it's too late. They wouldn't listen. Oh, I've got an urgent call to make this morning. Young men and women dropping a life behind them. It's your decision this morning. I will stand before you, a representative of God. I'm asking you to fit into destiny this morning.